as we come together on this morning, thanking God for another wonderful Lord's Day, allowing us to sleep last night, to be awakened on this morning, to be in our right mind, the activity of our limbs, to come to this place. There are many, many other places that we could have gone on this morning, but we have chosen to come here to sing praises unto God, to give back a portion of that in which He has allowed us to prosper, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to sing praises unto Him, to pray unto Him, and to hear His word being proclaimed. If you have not put on Jesus Christ in the watery graves of baptism, my question to you is, why not? Why not? There have been many people that have thought that they did not need Jesus in their life, and they never accepted Him, they never obeyed Him, and they died in their sins. Jesus Himself says in the book of John, chapter 14, John chapter 14, and the verse is 6. John 14, and the verse is 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you do not believe that, then you are going to have a rude awakening on Judgment Day. If you die in your sins, you're going to have a rude awakening. For there is but one God, and there is only one Lord, and there is only one way to get to heaven. We'd like to talk to you this morning about repeating Naaman's mistakes. Repeating Naaman's mistakes. Many times we like to learn by others' mistakes. We look at what they have done, what they had done, and we find that they were wrong. And we find that people were wrong in doing some things that they did. We don't need to follow that road. We don't need to follow that path. But we need to find a better way. Naaman was wrong in thinking that he could do something that no man has ever been able to do before. And no man will ever be able to do it. But before I get into Naaman's mistakes, I want you to know that Naaman was a special type of man. The Bible tells us that Naaman was a leper. You know, if a person had leprosy, no one wanted to be around them. No one wanted to even walk on the same side of the street that they walked on. But with Naaman's disease, his leprosy, the Bible teaches us, and I say that he was a special man, the Bible teaches us in the book of Luke chapter 4 and the verse is 27. Luke chapter 4 and the verse is 27. He wasn't the only leper in Israel. For Jesus says in Luke 4:27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. He's the only one that was cleansed. And that is the reason why I say he was a special man. He was special because God cleansed him, cured him of his leprosy. But Naaman made some mistakes before he was cleansed. And we're going to look at some of the mistakes that he made, and we're going to compare them to some of the mistakes that people are making today, repeating Naaman's mistakes. When will we learn? When will we learn? There's a hole in the middle of the road. And the car in front of you, they hit that hole, and they hit that hole hard. And you have an opportunity to sway to the left or to the right, but yet you want to hit that same hole. Why? Did you know it would mess up the suspension on your cars? Now, don't you realize that you may hit that hole just right, and when you come out of that hole, you have a flat tire? Don't you realize these things? Or maybe your wife has just gone through surgery, and whenever you hit a hole, she clenches up. When will you ever learn? Anytime we don't learn, we just want to follow after the next man and do the same things that they have done. Naaman, the Bible is going to tell us as we read in 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's just start with verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 11. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. All those good things that the Bible says about him, then it says, but he was a leper. It was a bad thing then. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were the prophet with the prophet, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, and he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so. And Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought. First off, we want to find that Naaman went to the wrong man. He went to the wrong man in verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, and thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The king had no power, not to cure anybody. He went to the wrong man. Just as many people today go to the wrong men in order to find out what thus said the Lord. Naaman made a mistake. And Naaman, as he made this mistake, didn't stop here. But the mistakes continue. You have to understand, mistakes sometimes are just like lies. When you make one, you make another. When you tell one, you tell another. But you have to learn from mistakes instead of repeating these mistakes. So we also find, going back up to verse 5, he was willing to pay for the cure, thinking money could cure all things. Bible says he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. I know that this is going to get me cured. Therefore, this is what I have brought with me. See, when man do things their ways, they think that they can just buy their way out of any situation. Again, remember what type of man Naaman was. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man. He was an honorable man. He was one that delivered them in battle, and they won that battle. But the Bible says he was a leper. He was a leper. Now, all of this, these great things that happened in Naaman's life, there's only one thing missing. And that is for Naaman to be able to sit around and talk with the people, associate with the people, hold hands with the people. So therefore, he wanted to be cleansed. And he thought that he could buy it. First off, going to the wrong man and thinking that he could buy it. And here's one that we all fall into the trap of. He started thinking. I'm going to tell you what to do. Well, I think it'll work better this way. No. Listen to me. Well, what if I try this? No. Quit thinking now. See, sometimes we need someone to think for us. And Elijah, he thought for Naaman, because Elijah was doing what God wanted him to do. It wasn't to glorify Elijah. It was not to glorify the king. It was not even to glorify the maid of Naaman's wife. It was to glorify God. So thinking needed to be put aside. Verse 11 again, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. But he told me to go down to the Jordan and wash 7 times. I didn't expect that. I expected just to give my money, he come out and do what he do, and I go about my merry way. It doesn't always work the way we want it to work. Not only did he think for himself, but he protested God's way. Or not, Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. But you want me to go wash 7 times in the Jordan? Why come I just can't go down to these rivers? Better waters, why come I can't go there? God, your way is all messed up. God's way, brethren, has never been messed up. Not even from the very beginning when he told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree that was in the midst of the garden. For the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. God's ways have always been the right ways. And we need to accept it. We need to just relax, quit thinking for ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to be your own person. I don't want you to be a robot, but I want us, when we start thinking, to think about what the Word of God says. His thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways. Amen. But what he has already put in place are the things that we need to do. Naaman protested God's ways. I don't want to go down to the Jordan. Do you want to be clean? That's the question. Do you want to be clean? He went there to be clean, but yet he do not want to follow what it will take. He wanted a substitute. Let's use these waters instead of those waters or that water. No, it's not going to work like that. You can go and you can wash in those two rivers all day long, many times as you want to. You're still going to come out a leper. Wasn't told him that, was it? Didn't have to be told him that. It wasn't going to happen. And here's where Naaman decided to submit. His servants persuaded Naaman to obey and was cured when he did. Only when he obeyed was he cured. In verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it?" How much rather then, when he said to thee, "Wash and be clean"? Think about it. Oh, you go into battle and I'm going to give you that victory. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to conquer all. That's a great thing. I'm going to get some prestige out of that and I'm willing to do it. But to wash in this river here? No, I don't want to do that. But his servant said, "If you go and wash, you'll be clean." Then went he down and dipped himself. He didn't just do it one time. They persuaded him to go. He just didn't do it two times, three, four, five, nor six. But he dipped seven times as he was told by Elijah in the very beginning. And the Bible says, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Do you see the importance of doing things God's way? What about the sinner? When will we learn? Naaman tried to do it his way. Naaman tried to think for himself. Naaman tried to go against what God wanted him to do, but yet when he did what God wanted him to do, he saw the results. He felt the results. He saw people looking at him probably in a different way, and probably they were looking at him strange still, thinking, "Man, what happened to Naaman? He was a leper, but now look at him. His flesh is like a baby." What about the sinner man? Many times, as being a sinner, we go to the wrong people. We go to denomination preachers. We go to priests. And we ask them to do certain things for us. We ask them, lay their hands on us, as Naaman said. I thought maybe he would just come out and stretch his hand forth and say a couple words and everything was all right. We have fallen into that same category. Where people have said, "Let me put my hands on you and I'm going to heal you or whatever's ailing you. I'm going to be able to, you're going to be able to sing like a canary if I put my hands on you." Y'all probably have never experienced anything like that, have you? Because all y'all sing wonderful anyway. That's what somebody told me one time. "Come on, let me put my hands on you so you can be able to sing." Y'all laughing, I fell for it. It didn't work, trust me, it didn't work. Anyway. Here's a problem I have never had. I haven't never been able to offer anybody any money for doing anything for me like that. But we find in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 18 through 20, when Philip baptized Simon the sorcerer, and when the apostles came down and laid their hands on them, that they would, receive the Holy Ghost, in verse 17 of Acts chapter 8, Simon wasn't far away. Simon was watching everything that happened. Simon was a man that had money. Simon was a man that could afford to say, "Let me buy that." He was willing to pay his way. Bible says in verse 18, and when Simon saw that the thought through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." He was thinking for himself. He was thinking of himself. "Let me give you this money so I can buy the gift of the Holy Ghost, and when I put my hands on them, that they may be healed." And I believe Simon had some alternative motives here. He had already made money off of his trickery or his sorcery, and now if he put their hands on someone, they were able to get the Holy Ghost, he was probably going to say, "Give me more money." But Peter said, "No, it's not going to work like that. You need to have part in a lot in this matter. But our heart is not right in the sight of God." I believe that we need to understand that many times when we think that we can go to whoever we want to, and allow them to do something for us that they have no power to do, and we even offer money in order to get these things, we are dead wrong. We are repeating the same mistakes that Naaman did. Then when men think for themselves, in the book of James chapter 2 and the verses 24, James chapter 2 and the verses 24, again, many people, they want to follow after the ways of man, and they want to start thinking for themselves because that's what man tells them. Quit letting them lead you in a way that they have no right to lead you. Start thinking for yourself. But when we show them in God's word what the word says, what can they do? What can they do? James chapter 2 and the verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. What people are saying that you are saved by only having faith in God. You don't have to do anything. There's a lot that you have to do. And when you do those things, only when you do those things, God is going to be pleased with you. For Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and the verses 21. Matthew chapter 7, the verses 21. That all, let me back up just a minute here. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So just having faith in God, just having faith in Jesus Christ, just having faith in the Word is not enough. Quit thinking for yourself and start doing what God wants you to do. And when you do that, then everything else is going to fall in line. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and the verses 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You think you're going down the right road? You think you're doing what is right? Oh, it may seem right. But he said the end thereof is death. You're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven because you have been thinking for yourself. You have closed God's word. Began to do what you wanted to do. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, in the verses 18, where people are saying, you can worship at the church of your choice, you can do whatever you want to, and everything else is going to be okay. You're thinking for yourself. Don't let anyone, you know, persuade you to go and worship where the Lord's people assemble. You worship where you want to. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man has thought to himself and for himself that he could go out and build a church, and yes, he calls it his church, and it is his church. It's not the Lord's church. Because they're doing things the way they want to do them, and have people in there that are trying to pay their way in. He's a big contributor here. You can sit on the front row. No, none of those men that's on the front row are big contributors. That's what happens, though. Oh, you're mediocre. You set back some rows. See, they start thinking for themselves. They have built their own churches. We need to get back to the Bible and do what the Bible says and quit protesting God's way. And do things the way God tells us to do them, and everything will be okay. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 12. He says, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You keep protesting God's way and his face will be against you. You're not going to receive anything for him. The way in which you want to go is truly your way. It's truly your way. We find in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verses 16, that Jesus talks to Peter and he asks the question, but whom say you that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one. You are the one that was sent in order to save us. That's what we need to think about when we see the statement that Peter made here. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not a false God, but the living God. The God that created the heavens and the earth. The God that created mankind. The God that can save people from their sins. And there is only one way that you can be in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 27. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse is 27. If you're old enough to understand who Jesus Christ is, you're old enough to understand what sin is, you're old enough to understand that you need to obey before it is too late. Being in Christ means that you have put on Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. No Christians outside of baptism. Not a one. But you become a Christian once you are baptized. And a Christian is a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, one that will keep the commandments of Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Protesting God's way. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. It's another verse that we need to understand. We talked about this on last week. About those hard sayings in God's word. But here's one that's not so hard, but yet there are many people that continue to disobey it. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What does man want to do today? They want a substitute. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want anyone to preach unto them God's word. They don't want anyone to tell them what they have to do and why they have to do these things in order to be pleasing to God. They want to do it their way. Well, we can't substitute the Lord's Supper for steak and grape soda, can we? Can't do it. It has to be the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, unfermented. That's what we do. We don't substitute. We accept God's word for what God's word says. John 14, 15. You just heard that. John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How hard is that to keep the commandments of Christ? You want to be a child of God, but yet you keep going to the wrong people. You're trying to pay your way. You keep thinking for yourselves. You keep protesting God's way. You keep wanting to put a substitute in. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The question is asked on many occasions, who's the head of the church? You know, there are some people that say the elders are the head of the church. Others will say that the preacher is the head of the church. Others will say the deacons are the head of the church. Others will say there's a woman that's the head of the church. But Jesus says, or Paul writes here to the church of Ephesus here, and he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Let's quit trying to substitute, and let's accept God's word for what it says. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. We're going to read verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. As Isaiah is speaking and talking about the word of the Lord, these are not Isaiah's words as far as his ways or his thoughts. He's talking about the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, my ways, said the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But you want a substitute? You want to protest against what I say? You want to think for yourself? You want to try to buy your way into heaven? It's not going to work. You need to quit going to man and go to the source. Go to God's word. Listen to what says the Lord. So Naaman made mistakes. People today are repeating Naaman's mistakes. Are you willing to quit repeating the mistakes that Naaman made? Are you willing to accept what God's word says? Maybe you're here and you're the one that has been going to these men. You know, many people, you start talking to them about God's word and you get them all confused. So they say they're confused and they say, let me go ask my preacher. You know what I tell them when they say that? Here's some questions that you need to ask your preacher when you go talk to him. Or they say, let me go ask my pastor. Well, here's some questions that you need to ask your pastor. First off, let's go to the qualifications of a pastor. Let's see if he even qualified. And then they tell you, no, I'm not going to say that to him. He's our pastor. If you can't question him, he's really no good pastor anyway. If you question them with God's word, they should be able to give you an answer from God's word. We're not trying to buy our way into heaven. But many people will. I can't make it to worship service today, but I'm gonna send my money. I haven't been able to go in months, but I'm gonna send my money. You know, we'd much rather have you than your money. Now, once you get here, if you don't do what you're supposed to with your money, then that's going to be between you and God. But we'd much rather see you, because your money doesn't have your face on it. Your money, we cannot provoke unto love and to good works. You cannot buy your way into heaven. Quit thinking for yourself and start thinking the way God thinks. And he's already showed us how he's thinking right here. But yet, remember, our thoughts are not his thoughts. But we can sure follow this book, the things that he has given to us. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you want to become one, don't hesitate. We're asking you to come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, have your sins washed away in the water of grave baptism. You're not joining us. The Bible says that the Lord adds to the church daily those that are being saved. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold and you're ready to come back. Don't hesitate. As Peter was telling Simon the sorcerer, you know, may you perish with your money. Both of y'all perish together. Pray. Pray that these things that you have said, that they will not happen to me. Ask for prayer. That your sins may be forgiven you. You repent of your sins, that your prayer may be heard unto God. Just do what's right. Let's quit repeating the mistakes of Naaman and start living the way God wants us to live. Allow our lives to be an example to someone else. If you're hearing your service and invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.